The question this morning that we can ask ourselves, am I ready for the rapture? Or if I read the title that I have given, are you rapture ready? Are you rapture ready? You know, many, many prophecies have been fulfilled. And there is one promise of God is to be fulfilled. And that's going to be fulfilled very soon. I had a grand aunt, and when I was maybe in third, fourth standard, those days we were neighbors. And every time, perhaps twice a day or something like that, every time anybody met her, or even when I saw her, we'll have some little conversation here and there, but she will make a point to ask, Jesus is coming, are you ready? You know, that thought was always so fresh upon her mind. Number of times during the day, she would think about Christ coming. And she would encourage others and ask them this question, that if Jesus would come today or tonight, are you ready? We learn many, many things, and as people of Pelham Road Christian Fellowship, we are very knowledgeable people. We know lots of scripture. We have studied for years together. We have had Sunday school. We get preaching Sunday after Sunday. And so we are well equipped. We are well informed. Still, today, I want to ask you this question, very simple and straightforward question. Are you rapture ready? Paul was teaching to this, or writing to this congregation, and he was addressing the believers. He says, brothers, we do not want to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. So these are not sort of rude words. He's saying that I don't want you to be ignorant. He was not trying to say that you guys, you are ignorant, you don't understand. But he wanted them to be well informed about coming of the Lord. And he wanted them to understand that God, Jesus is coming. And with proper understanding, he wanted them to be prepared for the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. We all know there are two parts or two stages. Sorry, I should not go too away, too far from this. There are two parts. One is Christ will come in the mid-air, and he will receive his own to himself. That's what we read in the scripture portion. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So first of all, what happens is Jesus comes in the mid-air. When is this going to happen? You can answer. When is this going to happen? Sorry, that was one answer. Can you repeat that somewhere? You don't know. There was one good answer from this area. Anytime. We don't know, but the fact remains that anytime. We saw the video, worship service was going on. Just imagine if that was to happen. You think those people must have prepared that, okay, while we are worshiping today, Jesus is going to come and we will be transformed. No. They come for a regular, average Sunday worship, and that's what happened. So the fact remains that Jesus will come, and he will come anytime. Many times we have this tendency, if there is some issue in our life, sometimes within the close family circle, there are some struggles, right? And we say, okay, let it be, I'll deal with it later on. And we keep some of those matters pending. But you know, Jesus will come anytime. Anytime this will happen. So what is required for us as people of God is that we be ready. So two stages. One stage is that when he comes in the mid-year, and every believer, every genuine believer, everyone who is genuinely and truly saved, every believer will be taken up in the air. And then the second part will be that with the saints, Jesus will come down to earth. So that is part two, and I'll not talk more about that today. But this is one of the biggest things that is that will happen very soon. As my great-grandmother used to say, he's coming soon. She died with that hope, but the word of God remains, he's coming soon. Now, why doesn't that happen? For God, one day is like. So in our limited calculation, we see, okay, my grandmother, who great-grandmother who believed so much, and in her lifetime, it didn't happen. And so we try to take it easy. But you never know. Jesus is coming, and he says he's coming very soon. I also remember one verse, Bible says, I think it is in Matthew, that the gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. So there are certain things that God is waiting for, and when it is right time, he will come, but the stage is set, everything is prepared, and don't think that it may not be in our lifetime. I'm hoping and praying that if this happens in my lifetime, in your lifetime, that will be a greatest blessing. So you don't have to look forward to dying to be able to go to heaven, right? We can very much be living, very much be alive, and then without having that experience of physical death, just get transformed and to be able to go to the Lord in his presence. What a glorious thing that will be. Doesn't that excite you? It is a very exciting thought, very powerful thought, that God who loved us, who gave his life for us for our redemption, and we belong to him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But he also said that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when that place is prepared, I will come back and receive you to myself. Because his will and desire is that where he is, that he wants us to be with him. So he's coming soon. You know, when we look at the Old Testament, the prophets would tell about Christ coming in power to rule and to reign. But you know, in the New Testament, when we look at his coming for the church, his bride, he's coming from for you and for me. I know that you know Christ is coming, right? Everybody seated here, everybody knows that Christ is coming. But still, let us talk about it for some time. Was it a thought this morning when you got up? Don't answer me, just answer to yourself in your mind. Was it a thought in your mind this morning when you woke up that Christ is coming? Maybe, maybe not. Most of the time, not, right? Because we are so much preoccupied with things that we have to do. Maybe perhaps we thought that today is Sunday, we have to go for worship. What will be there for lunch? Right? These are the things we normally would think. But then, the purpose of all this thinking and speaking here is that I want to bring an encouragement to all of us. Just a simple encouragement that we look forward to the coming of the Lord. Because in the scripture that we read, verse 18, therefore encourage each other with these words. We know this, but we need to remind one another so that we mutually encourage one another. Hey, Christ is coming. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Verse 16, I have a first thought there in that verse. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. The Lord himself. The Lord's coming will be personal. He's not going to send any substitute. Not an archangel will come as his representative. But the Lord himself is going to come. You remember in Book of Acts chapter 1 verses 10 and 11? People were there when Jesus went up to heaven. They were looking at the sky. Two men dressed in white appeared. And what did they say? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. That is what was last told when Jesus went into heaven. The same Jesus, exactly the same Jesus, one who came, one who died, one who rose again, one who was ascended, the same Jesus is going to come back. Lord himself will come. It will be his personal coming. Jesus Christ, in Hebrews we read, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus who died for us is going to come back to receive us to himself, because where he is, it's his desire that we also should be. So his coming is going to be personal. Verse 16 tells us, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. How is this going to happen? This is going to happen all of a sudden, just like that. All of a sudden. Somewhere on earth might be daytime, somewhere on earth might be nighttime. But this is going to happen all at once, and it is going to be all of a sudden. When Jesus was born, it was all very humble circumstances, right? There was not much publicity. Humble couple went. There was no place for them to stay. So whatever humble accommodation they got that night, that is where they stayed. Jesus was born. There were no lights. There was nothing. Lights we put now, but those days, there was nothing. Hardly anybody knew about it. Only when the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, they came to know. It was very, very humble beginning. He was born in humble circumstances. But when he comes back, what does the Bible say? With loud command, with voice of archangel, and with the trumpet call. So it's not going to be humble like that. It's going to be loud. It will be a big event. Doesn't that excite you? It does. It does to me. He's going to come back. You know, all those who mock at us, we try to preach the gospel. Many people don't receive us. We try to preach the gospel and they say that, oh, that is your point, worldview. Our worldview says this and that. Many, many things are there. But these days, all other worldviews will go down. And Jesus will come back. It will be all of a sudden. Let me read a few verses from Matthew chapter 24 for you. Verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, other will be left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Very clear, right? We do not know. And from this description, I understand that not all the people are going to make it, right? One will be taken, one will stay behind. And my heart's desire and prayer for our church and for all of us and anybody who is listening to me, that all of us will have part in those who are taken up. It's going to be sudden, all of a sudden. Time and again, people have predicted that on such and such day, Jesus is coming. I'm sure you remember some of those people and their names. So many people, time and again, come up with these things, predictions, that Jesus is coming. But it did not happen. Why? Bible says even angels do not know. Even the Son does not know it. Only God the Father knows it. So how in the world anyone can tell when Jesus is coming? No way. It's not possible. So Jesus is coming. He's coming for sure. But apart from Father, nobody knows the time. So I would not get into calculating. But my heart's desire will be just to look forward and make sure that my heart is right with the Lord and that I'm looking forward to his coming. In verse 4, there's more description. Watch out, no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of war, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquake in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Have we heard of some of the things that we read just now? Things are happening. So stage is set. And Jesus can come anytime. And that's the reason at the beginning I said, perhaps in our lifetime. And so the only response that should come out from God's people is that we be ready for his coming. My direct question to all of us, if Jesus comes today, are you ready? Third thing, Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first. In our scripture portion and verse 16. The dead in Christ will rise first. You know, I come from a culture where, in general, there is a lot of mourning, lots of loud weeping when somebody is dead. In fact, even in Christian families, and it is not compulsory in smaller towns in India to keep the dead body in the mortuary. They can bring the body at home, and the relatives from other towns will come. And every time a new relative comes, the whole family will rise up and they will weep loudly. Even Christians do that. There is no problem in weeping because the person who was with us, with whom we were able to have fellowship, he is no more. So definitely there is that pain of separation. There is that sorrow of our loved one passing away. But at the same time, even in that sorrow for us as believers, there is hope that this is just for time being and that there will be a great reunion where we will be able to see our loved ones once again and there will be rejoicing. And so Bible encourages us that we should sorrow, but we should not sorrow like those who have no hope. Because we have hope, a glorious hope of his coming. We have hope of the resurrection of all the saints that have gone before. No matter how people have died, whether it be natural death, whether it be accident, whether it be war, I don't want to describe more, but this is enough. No matter how they died, if they are believers, they will be resurrected. You know, coming from India, I've got many friends who believe in cycle of rebirth. They say that, okay, when you die, you are reborn again, depending upon your karma. Now everybody knows this word karma, right? That is works. Depending upon your karma, you will either be reborn in higher level of being or lower level of being. In India, pig is the filthiest thing. So if you are really mean person, they say you can become a pig next birth. And so this is the cycle of rebirth. It goes on and on and on, and eventually you attain what is called moksha. That is that you become one with your creator. This is the theology or philosophy that people believe in. Cycle of rebirth. And you know, because they do not know now, next birth, my dad is going to be a crow or donkey or monkey or whatever. I mean, they have every reason to weep and mourn, right? Because they don't know, they have no hope, and there is greater sorrow there. And that's the reason Bible encourages us that we are not to sorrow like those who do not have any hope, because we know who we are, we know what happens at death, and we know what will happen when Jesus comes. And so we are not depending upon works or karma, but in fact, Bible tells us something wonderful. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, Bible says, blessed are those who die in the Lord. You know, even in death, there is blessedness. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. They will rise first. So grieving is okay. But beyond that grief, there is joy that Jesus is going to come and that there will be resurrection and the dead in the Lord will rise up first. Now then, what happens to those who are alive? And it can happen most probably in our lifetime, who knows? I wish this that would happen. The living and true Christian, in my outline, I wrote true in all capitals, all caps. Every living true Christian will be raptured. And you saw in that video, there was church service going on. Not everybody went. There were some Christians who were still worshiping. They were there at the back. So, every living true Christian will be raptured. And that's what verse 17 tells us, that after that, we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I always think about this. I jump and I fall, right? I come back. Gravity. The heavier you are, the jump is lower, right? I know that very well. More heavier, you come back soon. But you know, when Jesus comes, what will happen? In a twinkling of an eye, in a split of second, God is going to change you and me. And we will receive glorified bodies. And then we will just zoom into the air. and go to meet the Lord, to be in his presence. So every Christian, every true believer will be raptured. And so Revelation 22 and 20, verse 20 says, he who testifies to this thing says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. He says, I'm coming soon. And our response is, yes, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. But when we say this, when we say come, we ought to be ready. Not like how you see me this morning, but how God sees inside of me. And that he should be able to find me ready. So we got to be ready in the sight of the Lord. He is coming soon. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 and 53. You know, mortals will be clothed with immortality. That's what I talked about a moment back. That those who are living will be changed. They will not have the experience of physical death. What a joyful thing it is. Death is called the enemy, right? And so they will not have to face that, but we will be transformed, caught up in the mid-air. Now, there will be remaining unbelievers, all those who do not acknowledge the Lordship of Christ, including so-called Christians, living here for the last several years now. I came to know that many people know Christian language. Many people know Christian language. They know Christian terminology. But when I try to talk to people, they don't know what is to be saved. So many people. And it's a sad thing that many people grew up in Christian family, Christian culture. They've been part of some church. And so they know all the terminology of Christians. But many of them will have not experienced personally salvation. And you know, all these kind of nominal Christians will not make it. And so our responsibility becomes even heavier for us, that perhaps you know some Christians. You know? You know that they are from XYZ church where gospel is not really preached clearly and salvation is not emphasized. There are so many people. And perhaps we know some of them. My responsibility becomes heavier. God does not want anybody to perish, but he wants all of us to have eternal life. We have received the light, but then it's our responsibility to share it with those who do not know you, so that those who do not know the Lord will also come to the saving knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So many Christians are there. But not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those, only he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. He will enter the kingdom of heaven. So just remember, I'm saying this over and over again. Every true believer, every true Christian will be raptured. And those who simply call him Lord, Lord, and there has been no heart transformation, no matter how much they will jump in their worship or whatever they might do, but if they do not know the Lord, they will not make it. Then one last thing we'll mention and then we'll finish. In verse 17, we shall meet with the Lord. That's the moment that we are waiting for. When we are taken up, before that we are transformed, we are taken up, we go in the mid-air, and Bible says, and we will meet the Lord and we will be with the Lord forever. And that's the glorious hope. That excites me every day. You know, in the video that we saw, the first picture, first frame was that pastor's outfit fell down. I was imagining anything extra things, extra plates that we have in our bodies, they all will come off. Artificial knee or whatever you may have, everything will fall off, because in heaven, in eternity, that is not needed. We will have glorified bodies. I do not know how young we will look like. In my study, I have not read that. How young, whether we will look like in our 30s or what, I do not know. But all these fixtures that you may carry in your body today will no longer be needed. Along with our clothes, everything will be dropped and we will take off. Isn't that a wonderful thing? There will be no knee pain, no backache, no headache, no glasses needed. Everything will be new. And we will be in the glorious presence of God. We will be with him forever. Two verses we will read, and with that I conclude. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. So what's our responsibility? That we live a godly life and we encourage one another. Not only, oh, how is your knee now? But how are you doing spiritually? You know, perhaps in your lifetime, nobody would ask you this question. We are so private, right? And we don't want to disturb the privacy of other people. And so if my neighbor dies, God will say, okay, it's all right. You didn't preach the gospel because I honor your privacy. Will that be the case? I don't think so. We are responsible somehow or the other. Through our life, our word, we can preach the gospel. Not always words are important. Even when you are not able to speak, your life is a testimony. So we are to encourage. So what I did today, I'm just encouraging all of you, including me, that be encouraged. If you are saved, praise the Lord. We are looking forward to that glorious hope of his coming. The first step is the rapture. And all those who are ready and belong to him will be raptured. And my heart's desire for our church is nobody like that video would stay back. Everybody should be raptured. And so what's our prayer? God, Search my heart. Know my heart, my thoughts today. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the path of righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, we are amazed at your grace, which is so wonderful. You have loved us. And you have saved us. But I want to thank you that your love goes beyond that. That you have prepared eternity for us. A place in your presence in heaven. And I want to thank you, Lord, because you have given us your word, and time and again, you remind us to be prepared. I want to thank you, Lord, because as a church, we were able to think about this particular thing that you have told us in your word, that you are going to come back soon. And all those who are ready will be taken up. And so, Lord, I pray for our church. I pray for everybody who is listening to my words, that you would cleanse us. Perhaps many times, Lord, we look around and try to find bad things in others' lives. But Lord, today we want to look into our own self. And I pray that you will be with us. Touch us, Lord. If there is any sin that is displeasing in your sight, Lord, and we still hold in our hearts, pray that you would enable us to confess it and forsake it, Lord. Because broken and contrite spirit, you do not despise. So we humble ourselves. And Lord, as we do that, then we look forward with great excitement and anticipation to your coming. And we say, Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.